Real estate's a mental business. Life's a mental game. Doesn't matter if you're doing what you're doing, Sam, what you do, what I do, whether you're running a bakery somewhere or a lawn mowing business. The greatest thing in life is mental. And so the one thing you can keep working on in your life is your own mental capacity to deal with the problems of life and the undulation of life.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent, for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking, and strategies to elevate your results. For more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier for your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. And to get new episodes of Elevate directly to your inbox, sign up at eliteagent.com/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, everyone, it's Sam here. When it comes to growing successful real estate businesses, few people have the depth of experience of Andrew Acton. The founder of Explore Property and Second Generation Real Estate has built his career on developing award-winning agencies and mentoring others to do the same. With a reputation for exceptional coaching in real estate practice, business operations, and leadership development, Andrew has helped shape the careers of countless industry professionals. Now his group has just announced its expansion into Southeast Queensland. Andrew joins us to share his expertise on market opportunities and agency growth and to discuss what it takes to successfully expand from regional areas to metro areas. So Andrew, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sam. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's amazing to have you here, actually. You've just announced your expansion into Southeast Queensland. So can you tell me a little bit what's driving the move right now?
Well, we're running out of positions, to be honest with you, across regional Queensland. We've built a nice presence there and there's still obviously opportunities there and there always is. But Southeast Queensland's such a broad market, isn't it? And so whilst that is you and I having this conversation is something we've spoken about, we definitely want to share what we have in Southeast Queensland. It's more of a sharing in general, and that just happens to be where we're not as prevalent as we are. So we've got a pretty good expanse across regional Queensland, and Southeast Queensland geographically obviously is what we're talking about and where we're going to, but that's not limited by anything. We just want to share, Sam. We've just gone 10 years old. We've, through a process of 10 years, you have, I call it the law of undulation. You know, it's a law of life, up and down, up and down, up and down. And you do go through a lot of that. And so we've sort of developed our platform to a level that we have such confidence in it, in the brand and things, that we just want to really press the button on sharing it further.
So you and I must have started our businesses at roughly the same time.
Yeah, we've had a couple of chats in the past, haven't we? We have, yes. It's interesting how there's a few of us out there that have been in that cycle of probably having that calling to do something. And sometimes it's hard to describe, isn't it? Because if you did it just based on facts and figures, you'd probably never do it.
Yeah.
You know, that is the truth. But ambition is not an easy thing to describe. And sometimes it, you know, rests deep inside, doesn't it? And so it's something that you go on a journey on and you've got to be prepared. But if you want to follow the ambition journey, you've got to be prepared for the leadership journey as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was never prepared for that 10 years ago. In fact, everyone thought I was mad starting a print magazine after watching what happened with the predecessor to Elite Agent. How were you feeling 10 years ago? Like, what were your thoughts on, were you ready for the leadership journey? What's changed?
Yeah. Look, I do, and I think this is the same with you. I honestly believe that I'm a better leader and a better human now than I've ever been. And that's kind of the law of life, isn't it? It's kind of, you want it to be like that. I would hope that I am anyway. But back then, I just had an ambition that I couldn't put to rest, I suppose. I had, as a lot of people, evolved from being, having a good agent business and being a principal and things like that, and had been with a couple large franchise type operations. And I just, we look at what we do here at Explore, we see ourselves, and this isn't every group, by the way, bigger group, but we sort of describe ourselves as being a path between larger disconnected franchise and isolated independent. And from my principal's hat, I just felt there was a path in between both of them that maybe wasn't filled. And so that was sort of bugging me a little bit. And that's with all due respect to the other things, because every model has their own benefits. But it is true in some cases. I think it's even truer today than it's ever been around that disconnection in one part and then feeling a little bit isolated as an independent. And so I had the calling that a lot of people do. I was restless. I had some ambition. I just had a little thing in my mind that I wanted to reach my potential in life. I didn't want to get to 80. I told my dad about it actually and said, you know, I've been thinking about creating a brand and maybe that brand could become something more than just my agency. And he said, well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it now because you're at that age and it will take you a long time, Andrew. And I was like, oh, yeah. And it did. And it still has. I mean, like in scale, there's only just starting, but it's an ambition. And I think the other people that are listening to this will get that ambition's a hard thing to quantify and it's a hard thing to describe in language that really points to, oh, I did it because of this. You know, some days I don't know why I did it. I just did it because this is the journey the universe took me on and I went with it.
Let me try and dig into that a little bit because I feel like I've got a similar experience there, but I don't know that I was overly ambitious, but I did feel like I could do things better. At the time, I thought I could do better by the industry than the media that's in play at the moment. I could create, but like, you know, like it was just a better, I could create better content. I could create better relationships with people, et cetera, et cetera. What were the things that I'm guessing there were things that you wanted to do differently and still do differently to this day?
Yeah, well, your journey, and as you hinted at, our journey is very similar, and you have done what you set out to do. And simply having that desire that you had, that is so much part of getting it done. And so I just had an experience, to be honest with you, Sam, without talking. I had an experience that left a real sour taste in my mouth. I felt like I was let down and I'd had an agreement with people I trusted that was totally disregarded. And that's the truth of it without saying too much. And it was just rubbish. And I'd actually seen some people around me in other locations who similar things had happened to. And they were in a bit of a position where they didn't have the courage to do anything about it. They were just taking it. And I was probably just at that stage that I thought, you know, I don't have to take this. I've got the courage to do something about it and to step forward and do something. And it was just courage, isn't it, to create your own destiny a little bit. And so I felt like it was the door opened up for me that it was like, this was okay. This thing happened where we'd, and I couldn't have done any more. I mean, I really felt like, you know, sometimes in life where you really feel like you brought something to the relationship or your part of the business agreement, which was above and beyond what anyone could have expected. And that even makes you feel really let down even more. I think, you know, agents have that happen to them at sometimes and principals in franchise groups and stuff where they feel like, you know, I did everything that could have been asked of me. I'm a good human being. I've supported everything. And my personal experience, that's what happened to me. And it was just a line in the sand moment about I either stay on the path, which I knew I would regret, or I say I'm going to back myself and have the courage to start my own group. And so I found the name Explore Property, which I fell in love with because it's a verb. And that's really helped us. You know, it's a clever brand around. And people underestimate that a lot, I think, in the industry. When you look at, oh, why us or why this? We're all swimming in a sea of sameness. And really clever, cool branding and marketing does work, Sam. It does work. We've proved it in marketplaces where you can really get behind it. And so just the cleverness of our name, it's kind of a market connecting name. And Explore Property with Andrew Acton or Explore Property in Brisbane. I mean, it's just, it's got a couple of different meanings. So the verb of it, I realized when I'd sort of got it, and it's probably only me that thought this too, by the way. I thought it was pretty clever. And I thought it was something I could believe in and attach myself to. And that's where it all starts. Any business like you with your business, the person who mattered the most was what Sam thought. And as the leader, you have to be taking the business somewhere. And if you don't believe it yourself, it's not from inside you. No one's going to come on the journey with you.
Yeah, you can't fake that at all. You just mentioned your dad, and I mentioned you're a second-generation agent in the intro. I mean, how has your father shaped your real estate career? Like, what were some of the big lessons that you learned from him?
Look, I wouldn't have been in it without my dad. What happened with me, I was doing civil construction, building roads and things like that. When I was a young guy, I was a typical guy, got his ute. I ended up in Western Australia. I lived in Broome. I got a job in a mine in the Kimberleys. I flew in and out, and I didn't have a lot of skill, but I learned to drive machinery and then I learned to read plans and things like that. So I worked sort of official capacity, was a civil construction supervisor. So I would be involved in building roads and pipelines. But unlike today, back then, you know, we're talking over 20 years ago, it was you're away all the time. I was away a lot. And so when I met my wife, as my dad said to me, you know, you need to get a decent job, get a job where you're actually at home. He said, you should get into real estate. And as a lot of us, we get into it because it's easy to get into. And I was a classic example of that. I was a guy who got into it because I had someone who encouraged me to do it. So my dad was a commercial real estate agent, which was good. So he worked as a commercial real estate agent. So he was more of a guiding hand that pushed me into it. But you know what I think probably the best advice my dad ever gave me is he said to me once that the number one reason people fail in real estate is because they don't stay in it long enough. And I think that's a really powerful thing for people to realize. And it's, I mentioned it before, something that I talk to people close to me about, the law of undulation, which is the law of up and down, up and down. That's, we're so reactionary to things as humans. When things are down, real estate's the worst thing for us. Like you see an agent who lost a listing in the morning and it's like the whole world's going to end. I'm getting out of this. I've had enough. All of a sudden they get a call out of the blue in the afternoon to get one and they're a completely different human being. And trying to find that power of, regardless of what happens to me, I try and get some level playing field there. And that's that bit of advice that Dad gave me about the number one reason people fail in real estate, they don't stay in it long enough. So he was, you know, a great mentor with a lot of that. And when you're young too, you just need people to tell you it's going to be okay and you're okay. Probably more importantly, you've got what it takes. And my dad was great at that.
That's interesting, that analogy of the undulation, because I do see that in real estate agents. Like one moment it's, you know, I'm the king of the world, and then the next moment it's flat. How do you help your agents deal with that sort of thing to keep them on an even track?
Making them aware of it. As a leader, it's just about communicating constructive language and constructive things for people to be aware of and follow, and just being consistent. And even the fact we're talking about it now, you know, I talk to our people about it constantly. Real estate's a mental business. Life's a mental game. Doesn't matter if you're doing what you're doing, Sam, what you do, what I do, whether you're running a bakery somewhere or a lawn mowing business, the greatest thing in life is mental. And so the one thing you can keep working on in your life is your own mental capacity to deal with the problems of life and the undulation of life and where I'm going. And the best people to be around are the people who are in control. And not everyone is. I mean, I lose it like anyone else. But what I think I've done, I'm better at as I've gotten older, is awareness, getting the awareness before you lose it, being aware of what I'm thinking and not believing all the crap thoughts that are floating around in my head and saying, you know, maybe I'm something else besides the little story I keep telling myself. But yeah, communication, 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 that's it.
So in North Queensland, we're seeing a bit of a market shift all over Australia at the moment. We're seeing greater days on market, and some agents are struggling a little bit with that. First of all, how is the market where you are? And what sort of things do you say to your agents when the market shifts that could be useful to them?
Well, funnily enough, the market isn't shifting in a negative approach anywhere that I know across regional Queensland, but that doesn't make it any easier. This is the key in all businesses about having talented people. Talent wins every time, doesn't it? You know, like it's a key objective of all of our businesses is to work with talented people. And so in every market, it's certainly the old 80-20, isn't it? You look into a market, like a big market, Cairns is a big market, Towers is a big market, Mackay. We've got an office in Whitsundays, and it, you know, that's a massive market, the Whitsundays. The dollar value of transactions there, I mean, really, there's not a lot of houses there. But it's one of those places that when people do have a lot of wealth, it is a place that they go to because they don't mind putting money into it. And so we see a lot of markets, and we're also in some smaller markets too, more rural type markets and things like that too. So I think the markets still really remain strong. And I just try and get our people to focus on what they can do. And it's just only service and relationships. So what we try and do is I don't try and talk too much about the market because there is a lot of language about it, you know, like you can't help missing it. And so I don't see my role as to get too involved in what's happening in the market. I just know if we have powerful people who believe in themselves and more importantly care about other people in terms of they want to connect, You know, one great piece of language is just, I'm here to help. If you just take that into your life with everything, I'm here to help. How can I help you? How can I help you, Sam? How can I help you, Mr. Seller? I met you at an open house. How are you feeling? Are things tough out there? We can't find it. How can I help? So I think service is the winner if you keep working hard. And so probably the one thing I am seeing, I'm seeing a lot of the great agents in our group, and we've got some guns as other people do, and it's pretty straight term, but they are. They're just, I don't even think sometimes great agents know how they get so great, but their businesses are getting stronger. The good people are getting stronger, Sam. That's what I'm saying. But there's still room for other people who are coming through. You know, we all start from somewhere, which is another thing I love about the industry. I was talking to someone about this the other day about even the best people. Everyone starts from somewhere. You know, the best agents in Australia, they were people who weren't agents at some stage and they came from somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's that mix for us of being thankful that we got the talent, but also realizing that we need to be a business that keeps, but the, probably the sign of a good real estate business is the ability to develop people. That's kind of what our goal is, isn't it? We want people to come into our business and become better human beings and better business practitioners within our business. That's what our role is.
So let's play a hypothetical just for fun. I've done this a few times and got many different responses, but let's pretend I've just come up to you, Andrew, and said, all right, I'm sick of publishing. I want a career in real estate. What sort of a development path, first of all, would you take me? And second of all, what sort of a development path would you put me on at Explore Property?
The first thing I would do is I would ask you why, because questions are the answer. And the reason I'd ask you that is because when I'm teaching you how to be a real estate agent, the number one thing I'm going to share with you, Sam, and the number one piece of business advice is that questions are the answer. This is not about the Sam story. I'm going to run into the house and I was in publishing and I know everything about writing awesome ads. You're going in to ask them, thank you so much for having me here. How are you feeling about everything? This is a big step you're doing. So I would ask you why. Why are you getting into real estate? Sometimes people don't know. Like I got into it because I didn't have any skills in anything else. And my dad said, you should get into real estate. You'll be able to dress better.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds nuts.
All right. Well, let's play this out a bit. So if I was to ever get into real estate, it would be because, like so many consumers, I'm not going to say I'm an island in this, but we've all had our share of average. And I had a big share of average last year, so much so that it's actually led me to put together a whole strategy with AI as to how you can beat the competition. So I'm going to say, Andrew, this is why I want to join. I want to prove it's true.
I think one of the things about understanding, so if you're coming in to work with us, the first thing we're going to talk about is understanding what I said about the time factor. Because that's what beats everyone. So it's really important to understand that you can get through that time factor because like every job, it's not what people think it is. You know, I see this a lot in life. People think about real estate agents and they think they know what we do, but it's not what people think it is. So if you're coming in to work with us, I think a plan is really important, Sam. Let's have a plan. And so let's look at the number one thing I'm going to do as an agent, and that's have the realization that I have to work the sellers, not the buyers. Now, you are going to muck around with buyers when you're starting, but the whole goal is to get to the stage where you generate stock, because if you've got stock, the buyers will find you. So we all know that. All good agents, they're listing agents, aren't they? And so you need to develop a plan around, well, how the hell am I going to do that? And so the logical way to look at that is to say, well, where do listings come from? What could be some sources of listings? So there's a few ways. One is the first thing we would do is say, well, let's link with your sphere of influence. Everyone you know, Sam, I'm talking about people you went to school with, people you used to work with, your neighbors, Bob across the road, anyone who knows that you exist. That's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to start and try and put them into a database because I know where they live. I know their details, and if they saw me, they'd say, oh, how are you? So I'm going to introduce myself to them as I'm an agent because Bob across the road, his mother wants to sell. He's going to say, oh, I know Sam. She's cool. You should use her. So your sphere of influence, I'm still a believer, and it sounds a little bit old-fashioned, but I love the whole idea of farm areas. I think particularly when you're starting, now that you can evolve out of that, because I think what having a farm area does is it gives you a point of concentration and activity. So one of the things that happens in real estate, the problem around time, it's not that you have too much time, is that you don't bloody know what to do with it. That's why agents are so good at drinking coffee and stuff. It's kind of like, I'm going to come to the office and have a chat to the PM team. And so we're talking your sphere of influence, your farm area, and that would be developing an area that you like, and you'd look at the numbers and say what's in there that I could consistently apply myself to in marketing. I could meet people. I could do basic things that I needed to in terms of even letterbox work. So I've got a farm area. And so what a farm area does in my view is, yes, we obviously want to get results out of there, but it allows you to sleep well at night if you know that you've got an area that you're not winging it. And I think when you're starting, it's really about having a plan and you're not winging it. You know, I've got a plan. So I'm sphere of influence. It's everyone I know. I've got a farm area that I'm going to develop 12 months. I've got a 12-month plan. I'm going to connect with these people in these variety of ways. I'm going to try and list anything I can. So we're talking about someone starting out, aren't we, fresh. I'm going to list anything I can. I'm going to list a block of land or whatever, because you just need to have stock to be relevant. And the point of your first listing is not selling that listing. It's the next listing you're going to get offered. So we've got sphere of influence, farm area, and marketing around existing stock. So what getting a listing does, it allows me to do a stack of just listeds. It allows me to do an open house invitation. It allows me to say, are you interested in what's happening in the marketplace? Rather than me going to them and asking for them to give me something, I'm able to give them some information. And then so we've got sphere of influence, farm area, marketing around existing stock, and the fourth one is your database. You have to get your database humming. And that's pretty easy too to start with, because that's going to start from my sphere of influence transferred into my database. They're kind of the four areas I believe you need to concentrate on, and you need to think long term. You just need to go bigger at it too. Like, I know Ben Chick that works with us, and you know, Ben's outstanding leader and outstanding principal, but when he was starting, if he did a just listed, he'd do the whole suburb.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been at Ben's office where he's got piles of cards, and I was, what are you doing with all these? He's got 80 cards. He's writing a card to every single person who came to his open house. I mean, whatever it takes. Total engagement. And every profession is like that. You've got to be all in and take personal responsibility too. You know, one of the things I do believe in is you can't be too babied from the office. And I'm the first person to try and give someone a lead, or I probably don't do that much anymore. I just fill a different role. But I think that is important if you can get some help or get them to, like, if I'm a new agent, I'm going to the other experienced agents in the office and saying, can I help? I'm happy just to come to your open houses. Don't ask for anything from it. I mean, it's a privilege. To be able to go to open houses, you should just go there for free. I just want to come and hang out with you. You want me to help you. You start getting a little bit visible. You start learning language and you get empowered. You start feeling good about yourself.
So do I have the job?
I think you'd be a gun real estate agent, Sam. You would. You know not what not to do. Let's have the job. Who knows where we all come from too? Isn't that beautiful about the business? We all come from different backgrounds and shapes and sizes and ages, don't we? That's what's real estate is such a leveler. It's a personal business. It's such a, you know, a business that can fill you up and make you so strong because it's a personal business. You can really make this your own and achieve something special with your life and your family.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you've got the job, Sam. No problem at all.
I've got the job. You never know. It might be plan B or plan C. You never know. There's a lot of real estate agents here on the Gold Coast, though.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, bud.
So how do you see your business evolving? Like, so we've had 10 years. How do you see your business evolving over the next couple of years?
We've got 13 offices. So we're kind of like a niche boutique. You know, a friend of mine who's a great operator, said to me recently, I love the whole idea of a boutique franchise. I don't like the word boutique. I've always felt that people use the word boutique as an excuse for being small. I hope I'm not offending anyone by that, because I know some people do specifically, you know, the great agents. So their model, the model's changed a lot. But we don't want to remain that, I suppose. You know, I think we've come up in a generation and a time with a lot of different models that we're not sort of saying we want to have 100 offices and be all this. We just want to keep finding great humans. But we have a purpose, and our purpose is to help people reach their potential by building great real estate businesses, which sounds like a simple thing, but it's really clear. And so that doesn't finish, I suppose. That doesn't finish. We've got 13 offices. We'd love to get to 20 because it just sounds like a nice number to me. And I know that sounds like, gee, you think that it should be a lot more technical, but you never know where the next opportunity is coming from. And we're really in a space too that I think we're a bit challenged by. There's all different models. There's the standalone model, and it's very much the perspective of being a business or a practitioner, isn't it? A practitioner is like the barrister. You can make good money when you're on the tools, but if you go on holiday, income stops, you've got nothing to sell. Whereas I always encourage people, you can still be a practitioner, you know, be a good real estate agent, but why not build a business? I can't see any logical explanation except people talking, you know, trying to get them to do a different model. Why, if you're actually a good real estate agent, why you shouldn't think longer term and build yourself a real estate business and build a rent roll? Because if you know the value of rent rolls when you want to get out of it, you will kick yourself for not doing it. And if you've got the ability to sell, that's where your cash flow is going to be. And there's a beautiful thing in life to build something that's more than about you. You know, I think as human beings, there's a lot of fulfillment in that, to have had people work with you, to come on a journey, and for you to contribute to people's lives. I think that's, you know, whilst real estate's a business, to me, it's, I never think about the business side of it, Sam. I don't think about the money side of it. Like, I have to be aware of it. I've got some good people who work with me, but I just don't have any interest in that side of it. I don't mind being open with you. I just love the people work. I love the challenge. I love the personal work I've had to do to make myself the leader I am. And that's where I'm happiest, when I'm with people and sharing. So for us, we just want to keep sharing as opportunities arise and people want to work with us. Of course, we welcome that and we love that.
Yeah. What do you think a successful real estate business will look like in 5 years' time?
I don't think there'll be as many changes as we all think. I really believe that. I actually think that more than ever, the value of great customer service is shining through. People want that. And so if you're in a real estate business and you can provide, and it's one of the things you should be careful of these days too, I talk about in our businesses, is de-engineering your business. We've got to be careful we don't fill our businesses up too much crap. You know, we've got every subscription known to man and all these things, and you can get your business full of stuff. So there's a great saying about simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. So obviously you need a great CRM and the other tools and AI things that go with it. But trying to really think about what is it we're great at? And every agent I've ever met who's really successful is great with people. And so around the social media and all that, I think the one-on-one interaction is being valued even more. I think you definitely need to be over all the other things. I think from a visibility point of view, it's important, but people want to hear you and they want to talk to you and they want to look you in the eye. And so I don't think the business is changing as much. I don't think it's changed as much as people think. Look, there's no doubt. Like, I remember I started just before REA hit its strap. So I remember when there was black and white newspaper advertising. And yeah, these are all changes, but the way I go about doing an appraisal hasn't really changed. I just show some different things, but the language I'm using around question-based and not statement-based, that hasn't changed a bit. So I would encourage people even more, just be careful of the shiny lights, you know, where you're, oh, this is a new model or it's a standalone agent model or this is that. I mean, the greatest businesses are built from empowering people. And that's what, like with us, Explore, people are at the heart of our business. You know, if you had to say, like, what I think we do great, I think we know our work really well. And we have an amazing peer group who supports each other. So these conversations we have, our leadership days, just the support of people who really care about you. And you get so empowered from that that you can deal with anything in the marketplace, because you can't control what the market can throw at you, but you can control who you hang around and who you converse with and who you get inspiration from. So I don't think there's some big, oh, we're in trouble. I don't believe that for one second personally. I think there's lots of changes on the periphery and around us. We've got to be aware of it and embrace it. But don't forget what we actually do. I believe real estate of the future more than ever will be people to people. I think you told me about your customer experience, Sam, that's probably an example of you think, gee, what happened there probably wasn't an interaction with technology. It was interaction with a human being that let you down. And so the people who are the great human beings in the industry that don't let people down and deliver on service, they go on forever.
Yeah, the people that let me down didn't use technology in the way that they should have to be able to not let me down.
Yeah, there you go. They were ignorant to it. You can't be ignorant to it. And I'm not inferring that. I just feel that a lot of the hype around the change in the industry, we have to remember, is coming from marketing companies who sell us products. We are their customers. I mean, as an industry, as agency people, and I make particularly the leaders in our business aware of that. Let's look at it. And we do. We put a lot of work into looking at products from a corporate level. Got to remember, we're their customers. Of course, they're coming to us telling us, you need this, you need that. Well, who else are they going to talk to? It's a real estate product. Just be aware of it.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know an industry who's pitched to more than real estate agents.
Yeah. It's healthy, isn't it? Because it gives us options, but you've got to be careful about it. You just got to control the control. What am I great at? I've always been a good people person. I like working with people. I know real estate. I'm a hard worker. To stay there. Like, why try and be something that you're not?
Yeah. Well, we're sort of getting fairly close to the end of the year. So about this time of the year, just as Mariah Carey's defrosting and all that stuff's hitting the shops, I tend to ask industry leaders the question, well, first of all, have you been naughty or nice this year?
I've been very nice this year.
not a true question.
A lot of people just ask them.
Well, what are you hoping for when Santa comes down the chimney in a month's time?
I'm actually having a little. I just this morning, believe it or not, my son booked a whole week camping trip for him and I up at a national park, which I do. So I really love having a life outside of real estate. You know, there was a time that I couldn't stop thinking about it, Sam. I mean, I was addicted to it. I've always had other things in my life, but real estate can be very addictive. It can really get you in, and particularly when it's your own business, because people don't realize when you have your own business, it fills up all these other things in your life. You don't really have to play sport because I've got this business that challenges the hell out of me. So I don't need any more challenges. I've got all these challenges right here in front of me. So I always encourage people to try and get a bit of a break at Christmas, because the other thing about having a break at Christmas in the industry is the rest of the world expects us to do it. If you're going to have one, it's okay to do it. But it's also a good time if you are thinking about change as well, because Christmas is a time if you wanted to have a fresh start in a business or realign or something like that, you can kind of have that break from Christmas and start the new year with a fresh approach. I think it's a great time. Well, it's called New Year, isn't it? But it is a time of renewal. So we're working on some plans for next year and, you know, just about our interaction with our group, our events and things like that, how we do things. So it's, for us, it's just business as usual. We're just full speed ahead. We want to keep growing our group and sharing it and working with great people and, you know, living our purpose of helping them build great real estate businesses.
Amazing. Well, it's been great to have you on the show finally. And I just want to thank you for sharing some of that wisdom and knowledge with all of our listeners. If there was one thing that you'd like to leave them with, or one takeaway or one actionable tip, what would it be?
I would encourage everyone to learn what they can let go of rather than what they can hold on to, because setting yourself free of things just allows you to be the human you are meant to be and become more of the observer. You know, sometimes I talk about people I work with is not them in particular, but life can be like a raging river. It's kind of just turbulent, ups and downs, logs. I mean, don't jump in the bloody river. Become the observer. Sometimes you need to stand on the bank and be the observer and let the chaos happen around you. You don't have to jump into every interactions that's going on around you. And being a good observer allows you to make good decisions based on good observations. So sometimes you got to bring it. But leadership's not always about being on the front foot and racing to every problem. Leadership is a lot about allowing things to evolve and being a presence in it that's not adding to the drama. So that whole thing about what can I let go of rather than what I can hang on to, and if you start reflecting on that, you will bloody find that you can let go of everything. Let's start letting go of things. I don't have to go there. I don't have to get involved on that. I don't have to interact with that. I don't have to take that to heart. I don't have to listen to that. I can be something more than the drama that's around me in my daily life. And all of a sudden you become that observer that plays a big part in people's lives, but you've got that calmness and that control about you. And good leaders should be controlled. They shouldn't be adding to the gossip and getting involved in the dramas.
Yeah, good advice.
Taking the team past that, through that. My job is to take our whole, you know, our group, my job is to take us past that, make us something more than we are, every single individual. I'm not talking just our leadership team and our great, I mean, everyone. As a leader, I want to take them on a journey of being something more than they are now, but a lot of it's personal. So you can't, as I keep saying, you can't control the outside stuff, but you can control how you respond. So don't let go of things. Let them ride.
Great advice, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. Great talking to you, and well done on everything you're achieving in your life too.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Elevate Podcast with thanks to Connect Now. To stay in touch with all things Elite Agent, sign up for our daily newsletter, The Brief, at eliteagent.com/subscribe.